The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
There are a few people in this world who are still trying to convert me to the tablet PC. And I refuse to move. I think that it's still not for me. And largely because I just recently got a ThinkPad. So for me to invest, you know, about $10,000 to get a tablet PC? Right. I haven't introduced you yet, so you got to be quiet. His name, Mark, or Chant. Which is it? Is it Mark or Chant?
Yes.
What do you mean, yes?
It's Mark or Chant.
Mark or Chant.
Yes.
Well, that's kind of confusing. But before, of course, this turns into a who's on first, what's on second, it's Mark or Chant. And that's his name. It's not a choice. That's just what we were given. And we thank God.
It's what you get. There are no options. It's a whole package.
Kind of like a tablet PC.
In fact, it is. Versatile, compelling, engaging, interesting, and it will help your productivity. But, Chris, I can't get you off of Outlook 2000, so getting you onto a tablet PC seems like a fool's errand. So in spite of the fact that I keep trying, you need to sense that I'm not really sincere.
I sense that, and I kind of got that when you started kicking me under the table a few minutes ago. So I'm going to just roll forward with the interview, and we'll pretend Jake will edit it out later, and we'll be fine. So the tablet PC, really, I mean, isn't just a laptop with just some fancy pen features.
Well, I don't think Microsoft's marketing team would necessarily characterize a tablet PC as just a laptop with fancy-pantsy pen features, but I suppose you could look at it that way if you really wanted to. Now, what the tablet is the tablet is, I think, the next evolutionary step in terms of truly mobile and versatile computing. There are things that you can do with a tablet PC that you simply can't do with a ThinkPad. I love ThinkPads, man. Don't get me wrong. Beautiful machines, very well designed. You can drop them off tables, I hear. Although every time somebody drops one off a table, they panic. So they obviously aren't seeing the same TV commercials that I am. But a tablet PC comes in two different form factors, which is a cool thing. You can get a slate or you can get a convertible, which is kind of like a laptop with an Exorcist Linda Blair kind of screen that spins around and flips up and down and does cool stuff like that. But the ability to interact with a pen and the ability to work standing up, whether you're having a hallway meeting, you're standing in line somewhere, or you're just draped in an easy chair, is pretty cool. And the ability to flip your screen orientation from portrait to landscape for different tasks is also pretty powerful.
Did the tablet PC strike you as soon as it was released, or did it take a while? Did you have to actually hold on to it before the bug bit you?
We got one of Toshiba's very first Portage 3500s, which was their entry into the tablet PC space. And it was ordered for another guy at my company, and I ended up monopolizing it so much, saying, "Hey, Jake, do you think I could play with your tablet for a little while? I found a new software package. I want to just see what it does." So, no, I dove in pretty early, but it was at someone else's expense, unfortunately. And the owner of my company got so upset because I was biting into this guy's productivity, he said, "Mark, would you like me to buy you a tablet so that Jake can actually get some work done with his?" And I said, "Absolutely. In fact, you know they've come out with an improved model. It's called the M200, and there's a really tasty configuration here, and I've already spec'd it out. And in fact, I can buy it on Amazon this afternoon and pick it up at Circuit City at lunchtime. All I need is your approval." And he told me to go buy it. And the rest, as they say, is history.
See, when you work for yourself, you don't have that luxury. Or in my case, if you work for your fiancé, you really don't have that luxury. So what do you say to those of us who are in need of upgrading, as it were?
Well, Chris, there are a lot of needy people in the world. You're never going to sell me that you're one of them, okay? So let's just start with that, okay? Because every time I see you, you have cool toys. So this is not a question of wherewithal. This is a question of will. And my take on it is, you can't blame Ponzi for this. And if you want to get all schizophrenic in public and start having conversations with yourself about the merits of spending money on a tablet PC as opposed to this very cool recording device that you're using right now and this microphone, which appears to be really heavy. I mean, your hand's already starting to shake a little bit, man.
That's because of the beating I gave you before we did the interview.
Oh, is that it? Well, that goes along with when the tablet PC first struck me, right? See, the scar's almost healed here.
I've seen a few cool apps, admittedly, for the tablet PC. Is it really something that is poised to take off in the mainstream in the sense of replacing laptops entirely? Or is it still very much suited for niche markets? So doctors, educators, people who have a need to input with something other than a mouse or a keyboard.
I think it's still a niche, but I see the niches expanding and multiplying over time. Microsoft has, in fairly typical fashion, taken a while to really listen to the evangelist community, the early adopters, the people who have a lot of passion for the platform. And it's not really so much the people who are developing the OS or the hardware as much as it's the people who are communicating its value, the marketing people. And I'm a marketing person, but I beat up on the tablet PC marketing quite a bit, but they're getting better and they are listening. Well, they just released this excellent experience pack. It's got a lot. It adds a lot of value to every user's experience and use of the tablet PC. There are more good applications that are pen-enabled or pen-native coming out all the time. I think ultimately, and it may be Longhorn or it may be after Longhorn, but I think that the tablet functionality will simply be available in the OS if you have the appropriate hardware to take advantage of it. And I see more and more companies going the way that Toshiba is going. Toshiba just announced their latest tablet PC offering, and if you're familiar with their laptop line, they've always had three lines of laptops. They have the Portage, which is designed for mobility, very lightweight, small form factor. They have the Satellite, which is for consumers and for students, and they have the Tekra, which are their heavyweight ThinkPad-style workhorse laptops.
Wait a second, Mark. Which one blew up on you, Jake? Which version of the Toshiba?
I had a Satellite model, but it was at the high end of the Satellite line, and I would not recommend anyone spend any amount of money on anything in that line. I had it went back for product part replacement four different occasions over from like September through when was it I got my HP? Because it hasn't been that long ago. Like 4 months, 5 months.
So Toshiba has better tablets than regular laptops, Mark?
At least as far as Jake's concerned, they do. Where'd you buy this thing, man? If you run into problems like this again, you got to call me, okay? Because every time I've gotten a lemon, and that's what you had a lemon. I don't think it's fair to make a judgment of the entire Satellite line, which has probably included maybe 300 different configurations, by your one experience.
Okay. Out of the four failures that I had, three of them were the hard drive failing. Now, if you put in a new hard drive three times, that to me is beyond lemon. Because that means they put in a crap hard drive three times in a row.
Or it means that they misdiagnosed the problem and it wasn't in fact the hard drive. There was something else wrong with the system that kept eating your hard drive, which is the route I would have gone when they sent it back the second time saying, well, I don't know, but it seems like the hard drive went bad. There's a thing called an implied warranty of usability in all 50 states in the United States. So the next time this happens to you, here's what I suggest you do. You get on the phone the second time and you say, are you familiar with a law that is called an implied warranty of usability? Essentially, what it states is this. When you buy a product that is intended for a particular purpose, there is an implied warranty that it's able to fulfill that purpose. Now, if this box keeps eating its own brain, which is essentially what's happening, then it is fundamentally unable to perform the purpose for which I purchased it. And now the only purpose that it is going to be good for is squashing bugs. So I want you to take it back, and I want you to give me another one. I don't want you to attempt to repair it because it's not my problem. This is an improperly built machine, and I would like another one, please. And guess what? They'll give you another one. It's all in how you ask.
Getting tech support in the middle of an interview is just fantastic when it can happen. So Mark, you were saying, so Toshiba's got these three lines, right? I don't know if you even remember where you're going with that, Mark, at this point. But apparently, they've also got these fantastic tablets. Is that what you currently have, a Toshiba?
In fact, it is. I have the M200. And I think it's an absolutely rocking machine. I take it with me everywhere. I bang it around quite a bit, and it's proven to be a good machine, good hardy machine.
What would you consider to be a good starter machine in terms of tablet PC experience? Because from the people I've talked to inside of Microsoft who have shown me their tablets, they always recommend, no, you want to go with as much RAM as possible. No, you want to go with this kind of screen. And it just seems that every little bit you add on, it seems to get a little more expensive.
Well, at the risk of sounding like a consultant, Chris, it depends. It depends on what you're buying this tablet to do. If you're buying a tablet to be your primary PC, and that's the case with me, I don't use desktop computers. I gave them up years ago. I just don't like them. I don't like not having my stuff with me, because inevitably, no matter how careful I am about synchronizing stuff, the one thing I need is on my desktop, and it's not on my laptop. So I said, the heck with the desktop. I'm going to put everything on my laptop. So I tend to buy high-end laptops, and if you're in that mode and you can afford it, absolutely, because the first rule of computing is that you can never have too much RAM or too big a hard drive. It's just like you can never be too rich or too thin. So load it up. Max it out if you possibly can. On the other hand, if you're buying this as a secondary device, and I know a lot of people who use tablets as a secondary computer, then you really have to decide what kind of functions you want to use it for. And if you're primarily using it for a sketching tool, maybe doing some light email or browsing, RSS reading, those kind of things, you don't need to load it up with more than 512 megs of RAM, which is what XP really needs. You don't need a huge hard drive. And you probably want to even consider whether you actually need a convertible all-in-one device, or if maybe having just the slate with a USB keyboard or a docking station or something like that might be more appropriate. I decided to go with the convertible because I write way too much to not have a keyboard with me at all times. But for people who are mostly, again, using it as a secondary entertainment or reading kind of device, if I were in that posture, I'd get a slate.
Is battery life any better than the average laptop? And the average laptop doesn't have great battery life.
Yeah, it is. It's not as good as it could be, and it varies significantly from brand to brand. So Electrovaya, who's one of the companies that manufactures tablets, has a very cool battery technology and form factor where literally the entire back of the tablet is a battery. It's a thin but large capacity battery, and I've got a couple of friends who have them and report with fairly aggressive power settings they can go 9 hours without recharging. And that's extraordinary. That's without adding a slice or any additional weight to the device. My M200, with aggressive power setting, can get about 5 hours on a single charge. So it is better. It's using this Centrino chipset, and it's been optimized. So by comparison, my last laptop was a Pentium M, but it was a Pentium 4M, and it sucked batteries just like your ThinkPad does, and I get two and a half hours out of it. I think that's pretty typical for most standard laptops.
The ThinkPad, I have a T42P, and it actually does fairly well. Yeah, it's a very, very good machine, probably one of the better, if not the best, laptops that I've ever owned. And I recently purchased it just because I was looking, and I had a Toshiba as well, which I didn't mind as much as Jake, but then again, I didn't really have any hardware issues with it so much. But at the same time, it sucked battery like none other. It was a desktop replacement. Do you think a tablet PC is a suitable desktop replacement? You say you use it yourself, but is it for the average person who doesn't mind a desktop so much?
No. It's too expensive. By comparison, you can buy a desktop machine, I mean a fully loaded, really well-configured desktop machine for under $1,000. For under $1,000, you're going to be buying an entry-level tablet PC, so it's kind of a no-brainer. I mean, in that well-configured desktop at that price, you can have a gig of RAM these days, you can have a 60 or 80 gigabyte hard drive, a DVD burner, and a nice flat panel display. So if you don't mind a desktop, if you do all your computing in one place, that's definitely the way to go.
Okay, so tell me about the next really cool tablet PC that's going to hit the market, because there's always something new and something better that's going to hit the streets.
Actually, I think the two most exciting units that have just been announced, one is from Fujitsu. It's in their Lifebook series, and it is a direct competitor for the M200 in that it is the second tablet PC that has 1400 by 1050 resolution on its monitor. And that's the reason why I went with the M200 over all other things, is a high resolution display. Unlike the M200, however, it's still using shared graphics, and the M200 has an NVIDIA dedicated video card. Only 32 megs of RAM, though. So the other exciting machine is the new Tekra that was just announced by Toshiba. It's not yet available, but it's going to have up to a 128 megabyte NVIDIA card in it, and it's also going to run at 1400 by 1050 on a 14-inch monitor, and that's a Longhorn machine. So it's the first tablet I've seen that's really going to meet the specs for being optimized for Longhorn.
Do you think that Longhorn is going to make the hardware needs not so important, or are they going to be more important with the next operating system that is really yet to rear its ugly head?
No, I think it's going to require a whole new generation of hardware to take maximum advantage of what it does. Now, from what I understand in talking to Scoble and a few other developers, Longhorn is going to be kind of smart about what kind of configuration you've got, and it'll only flip on some of the advanced services if you have an appropriate processor and enough RAM and a strong enough video card, and it'll auto-sense that. So you'll have whatever the best experience is it can deliver based on your configuration. But I don't think that any of today's tablet PCs are optimized for Longhorn.
You had kind of referred to some of the tablet PC-centric features possibly coming into just the Longhorn build just in general. So would that mean that someone with a Wacom or Wacom, however you want to pronounce it, tablet, and if you do know how to pronounce it, please correct me, which I'm sure you will not be shy in doing, is that something then that they could use a tablet PC type of experience on the desktop or anything that they had a Wacom tablet?
You can actually do that today. There's an excellent product called WritePen, and they've now introduced a very cool ink-based note-taking application similar to OneNote. Different metaphor, but essentially it does the same thing, free-form, ink-based information capture. And they use their own recognizer technology, and it does not rely on the tablet PC OS. So you can today equip a machine with a Wacom tablet, which is how I've always pronounced the name of the company, and you can have ink recognition just by installing the WritePen software. I know a couple of white box computer builders who have built pseudo tablet PCs by using the WritePen software and simply using a touch sensitive screen as opposed to the active digitizer that the tablet PCs, the true tablet PCs, use. So you can get a near tablet PC experience today without actually buying an official one.
In terms of software investment, you had also referred to at some point in this conversation software that is optimized for a tablet PC experience. Is there really a dividing line between software that's usable truly on a tablet PC versus software that wasn't really designed for it?
Yes, there is. The best example of an application, a productivity application, that has been optimized for a pen-based usage is Mind Manager by Mindjet. They made an early investment when they rebuilt their application in the latest version, which is called X5, and they created a pen mode. And it has a complete set of gestures built into it so that by gesturing with the pen, you can perform operations that normally require a keyboard shortcut or navigating and choosing menu commands. And you can do it all just by scribbling on the screen. So it's a completely pen-enabled environment. And it's a joy to use on the tablet as a result. Then there are other applications that we tend to live in all day long, like you and I both use Outlook heavily. We differ on the version, but that's a whole other show, and we're not going to get into that right now. In fact, if you try to get me into it, I refuse to play. So I'm setting the rules of engagement right now. But there is an excellent add-on for Outlook called Tablet Extensions for Outlook. It's produced by a small company named Einstein Technologies, and it turns Outlook from a relatively pen-unfriendly environment into a completely pen-enabled environment, and it costs about $30. So there are ways to extend existing applications and make them completely pen-friendly. And then there are applications that are written from the ground up to take advantage of that interface.
Here is what I believe to be a fair question. What are some of your major frustrations with the tablet PC? Whether it's OS-based, whether it's software, whether it's hardware.
Well, I'll deal with each one in turn. My biggest problem with the hardware is that there are a lot of penalties that you pay for using an active digitizer screen. And unless you're really, really, really brave, like my good friend Brandon sitting next to me here very quietly, and are willing to peel the protective coating off of your tablet PC screen, you're going to deal with a dulled image. It's not quite as saturated. It's not quite as bright as what you'd be expecting on the state-of-the-art for today's laptops, which have some gorgeous, gorgeous screens on them. And I was actually looking very jealously at Brandon's laptop over the last couple of days at Search Champs, but I'm not willing to expose that very expensive screen the way he has. He's young. He can afford to make some mistakes. I can't. So that's my biggest frustration with the hardware, I think. That and the fact that in Toshiba's case, they don't make a high-capacity battery for the tablet that I'm using, and I would love to have one of those when I'm in all-day meetings and things like that. As far as software goes, my biggest frustration is just that there isn't enough, and I think that Microsoft needs to do a better job working with ISVs and getting more stuff out of the, hey, this would be a good idea stage, and into the, here, you can buy this stage. It's mostly fallen on intrepid third-party small developers working on a shareware or evaluation model to introduce most of the really great tablet PC software so far. And then, what was the third one? Oh, the OS itself. I really can't say I have too many problems with the OS. It is fundamentally Windows XP. It has some extensions built into it. Since they came out with Service Pack 2, which included the Tablet PC OS 2005 edition, whoever is coming up with these names at Microsoft definitely needs to take a vacation. It's a lot better. It's an almost seamless experience, and it's actually a lot more usable than it's ever been in the past. So I'd have to say I'm pretty satisfied with the OS overall.
If there is one particular feature you're screaming for, either in the OS or in hardware or in software, what would these be? And, of course, you can tackle each of these topics respectively.
Well, in terms of hardware, I like the direction that things are going because I think the real secret is to make more options available, more configurations, more kinds of PCs. I mean, ultimately, what I'd like to have is I'd like to have a tablet PC that's got enough horsepower, enough capacity, that I can also have media center functionality on it as well. I use my tablet as a completely mobile entertainment center. I've got podcasts on it. I've got video on it. I've got RSS that I can read on it. I use Skype with a headset and walk around my backyard talking to my friends in Australia and talking to my friends in France. And I mean, it's a wonderful device, but it's subpar for doing real media work. And so I think if it had better processor speeds, which the new Sonoma chipset should definitely be a step in the right direction, if they start banging up the capacity to use faster and higher capacities of RAM, and hard drive technology is always one of the limiting factors, but if they can come up with higher capacity and slightly faster speed drives that don't suck battery life out, that would be great. Ultimately, the great limiter for any mobile computing is the battery, and battery technology is in the stone age compared to everything else, and it's always going to be the thing that holds us back.
And software that you would love to see on your tablet PC?
Just more. I mean, I would like to see Microsoft make Visio a pen-based application. It's a no-brainer. Actually, so is PowerPoint, and PowerPoint's not particularly ink-friendly either. And you can make that face, and you know what? If you had said PowerPoint, I would have made that face. But you know what? You and I just suffered through 2 days of death by PowerPoint, and there's a ton of people using PowerPoint, man, so they might as well make it work with a pen.
You know, I just saw Buzz Brueggemann give us a presentation in Mind Manager. He's showing us what he's going to be showing us at GnomeDex. And I saw him step through a presentation in Mind Manager, and I was blown away in terms of how slick it was. I'm like, that's a PowerPoint killer. I mean, if anything's a PowerPoint killer, Keynote ain't got nothing on the way Mind Manager handled the presentation that he had done. Have you ever done any PowerPoint presentations before, or should I say presentations in Mind Manager on the tablet PC?
Chris, I do everything in Mind Manager. I map out every writing project that I do in Mind Manager. Every upgrade to my company's website is staged using a Mind Manager map because I hate Microsoft Project. I think it's an evil, evil program that's used by bean counter type people who believe that you can, in this day and age of fluid teams and projects overlapping with each other and the kind of barrage of information that most knowledge workers are faced with today, that you can map out dependencies and resource management, and you can actually level resources. Talk to Scoble and find out if Scoble can be a leveled resource. Ain't going to happen. So I'm not saying Project doesn't have value for certain kinds of capital projects, you know, building a building or something like that. It's great for that, but for the kind of work that I do, it's completely inappropriate. I use Mind Manager for mapping out quarterly objectives with the people that I manage at my company. I use Mind Manager for planning a family trip. I use it for virtually everything that I do. And yes, I run meetings with Mind Manager. I've done presentations that are driven by Mind Manager. And one of the great things about the application is that it makes a seamless export of your map into a PowerPoint presentation that doesn't look like a PowerPoint presentation. It looks like the seamless stepping through the mind map, which is actually what Buzz showed you. And it also exports and imports from Outlook so that you can create task maps or calendar maps and look at a visual spatial relationship between all the stuff you've committed to do. It'll export to project. I already told you what I think about that. But it's a very versatile program. And with the new version, they went to an XML architecture, which allows them to do some really exciting things like smart map parts. And my favorite smart map part is an RSS part. So I can drag an RSS part onto a map, give it a feed URL, and it's like a mini aggregator right in my mind map, and it'll pull in. So if I build a Technorati search, for example, make a watch list, drag that URL, drop it on the RSS map part, and now if it's a particular product release that we've just brought out, I can track everybody in the blog space talking about my new release, and it's right in the map along with all the other stuff going on with the PR and marketing plan related to that release. So some very cool stuff.
All right, so that was the software part. We'd already covered the hardware part in terms of what you're looking for. And the last part, the OS. What kind of things were you hoping or are you hoping are going to appear in the next iteration of a tablet PC operating system?
I've seen some early suggestions of how a Write Anywhere UI can work. There's a great independent product called Orange Guava Desktop, and it does some very cool things with a basically Write Anywhere UI, and in combination with our friend Buzz's Active Words, it's a very potent thing because I can scribble an active word anywhere and have it invoked, and that's a great, great thing. I'd like to see that work across the OS. I think that would be an excellent thing. But ultimately, from everything I've seen regarding Longhorn, the OS map that they've got is great. I think everything that's going to be coming in Longhorn, whenever it is that Longhorn shows up, are going to be wonderful extensions and improvements on the operating system that we currently know as XP. I wish I could get it out faster. I wish that I could start playing with bits sooner and really figure out whether or not it's going to enhance the tablet PC user experience because of the innate goodies that they're adding to it. And I think that, you know, some of the interface things I've seen it do are ideal for a pen-based interface. You've got vector-based graphics. You've got the ability to make stuff larger and smaller as you need to. A lot of stuff that people who use OS X take for granted on a Macintosh, we're going to finally be able to do in Windows as well. So I think that's all good when it comes to the tablet.
All right, well, it looks like the mall is maybe getting ready to close, so you might want to grab a slushie here before you leave.
I just have to make sure that Scoble doesn't leave and leave me stranded out here instead of getting me back into Seattle tonight.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're doing this interview now, so that he could escape. He asked if I would allow him to do that because he doesn't like you, Mark.
But I love him, and I love you too, Chris.
Yes, I love you too, Mark.
And I'm really coming to enjoy spending time with Jake. He's going to tell me about more hardware problems that he's had as soon as we wrap this interview, and I'm going to see if I can make Brandon giggle and laugh at least one more time. I got him to bang his head on the table a couple times with my comments, so I think this should turn out to be a pretty good interview.
Actually, that's just a nervous tick he has.
Oh. If I give him a blunt object, will he just twitch and whack himself in the head?
Well, that's what this microphone's for.
Excellent. That's why it's a little flat on this side.
Well, that's for other reasons, but thanks, Mark.
The Windows Media Stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.